I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
Six holes is so short, anything can happen.
Six holes per knockout round in a match play format makes the Handa Super Six tournament in Perth, Australia, arguably one of the fastest and unpredictable golf events spectators and players can enjoy. New Zealand's Ryan Fox beat Adrian Otegi of Spain 3-2 in the final to claim his first European Tour win.
Been a tough day. I think I went down the last and all bar the final, and the conditions were pretty brutal again. And it was pretty tough yesterday as well, so I'm very happy to be standing here.
The 32-year-old Fox finished 8 under par after 54 holes of stroke play and earned a bye into the last 16 of the 6-hole knockout stages. Fox maintained his cool amid a hectic pace until he had a chance to catch his breath ahead of the final.
I just felt really calm. I think I was a bit quick early, in the quarter and the semi, and got away with it. And I guess I had a bit more of a chance to just sit down and take stock of things after the semi. I literally walked straight from the 18th to the tee in the previous matches, and it was nice to just relax and get focused for the final.
Otegi was happy he kept improving all week.
It's been a good week. Second is a solid week. What I felt is that I went like from low to up during the week, so that's good as well. That's a good feeling.
He approached the event one shot and one hole at a time.
I just tried to give myself some birdie chances, which I did. I putted well. I putted way better than yesterday as well. The first few days, my short game was good as well. So I don't know. I just tried to go hole by hole, doing my job, which I did well.
In the third place playoff match, Paul Dunne of Ireland needed an extra hole to get past Zimbabwe's Scott Vincent and claim third place. Dunne found the short 6-hole stage tricky.
Normally match play momentum is so important, but in 6 holes you can't even get momentum. It's a matter of throwing shocks in people's faces and seeing how you react to it. So that was a shock for me on the 17th.
Dunne would have liked to have been higher in the final standings.
I played nicely all week. Third is pretty good, but given the circumstances, probably a couple better would have been nice,
Fox finds the match play format much like playing sports growing up.
I grew up playing team sports. I guess I played a lot, like 15, 20 years of team sports. So you get used to just trying to beat someone. And I quite like that. And, it's a bit different than trying to beat the golf course.
Dunne is a fan of the unique event.
Yeah, it's a good format. It's different. I think everyone around the green enjoyed us. The excitement kind of 5 or 6 times a day as opposed to, just once a week. Yeah, there definitely could be more, but I enjoyed the Golf Sixes as well, kind of the similar format except it was a team. So, I think it's entertaining.
Fox says match play is a bit more forgiving than traditional stroke play.
If you hit a bad shot, you're only losing a hole, although losing a hole in a 6-hole match is a little harder than an 18-hole match, but it's not like coming down the stretch where if you make a double or a triple, you're out of the tournament. So it's a little bit of a freer format.
And he hopes more match play events can be put on the tour schedule.
I'd like to see a little bit more of it on tour, and I think the event's been a success here the last few years. The crowds are fantastic, and I'm sure that the concept will work, in other places in the world.
Many of the world's top golfers are just northwest of Mexico City this week for the World Golf Challenge Mexico Championship. Italian Francesco Molinari is beginning his 2019 season.
I've never been a really fast starter of the season, so usually my first few events is kind of a warm-up to get into form, but hopefully this year will be different.
Molinari hopes to repeat his strong play from last year, knowing he has to be realistic.
We all know in golf there are a lot of good players and the margins are very small, so I might play as good golf as last year and not win any tournament, so I need to be aware of that, and I need to measure myself not so much on the wins, but on how I feel on the course, how I play, and that's going to be the goal for the season, to try and improve what I feel I can still improve and maintain what I was doing well last year.
The Italian veteran says the year will be long.
It's different to show up as the Race to Dubai champion from last year. I'll try to put up a good defense of that title and looking forward to the season. I know it's not going to be easy to repeat, but you know, it's a long season. I'm glad to finally get started and hopefully get off to a strong start here in Mexico.
Matt Wallace of England described some of the challenges, which include heat and altitude.
It's a great course. It's a different course, and especially with the altitude. It's like Cran on steroids, I said to Dave, my caddy. So it's with the warmth and stuff, the ball's going to be travelling a long way, so it'll be difficult to control, but we're in good shape.
Joost Luton of the Netherlands also finds playing in Mexico a bit different.
It's always a bit of a funny golf course because the ball goes, you know, so far, and I think that's the hardest thing to adjust to, trusting your numbers that you hit out here, and it's a golf course where you got to be straight off the tee, so I like that, and hopefully I can make some putts.
He is also trying to figure out the difference in ball flight at more than 2,200 meters above sea level.
Sometimes when you launch it even high, it will go even longer, so controlling the ball flight is really key out here to control the distance of the ball. Some guys try to hit it a little bit lower so they don't have the big difference in how far it's going to go compared to normal altitude. But for me, I just take the numbers that I get on the trackman and I try to see if they're the same on the golf course and just trust that and go on those numbers.
Luton is also returning to competition after wrist surgery.
You don't know what to expect really, because you had an operation on your wrist and you just don't know how it's going to feel after the operation. You hope it's going to feel great, but you never know for sure. But I must say, after 3 months of recovering, it felt really good. And you don't lose the game of golf. You know, you just got to trust your body again.
Wallace is constantly working to be better.
I'm always trying to improve my swing because I don't think this game really stops. I want to improve. I want to get better as a player. And that's the way I go about it. And I know that if I feel my swing is in good shape going onto the first tee, it gives me confidence, and that's what I play off.
Players like Matt Wallace find perspective in the competition to hopefully come out on top.
These guys don't care about me, so why should I really worry about them, you know? So I'm going to do my own thing, go and play hard and try and put myself in position come the end of the week.
Hockey players, as you may know, use sticks to knock a puck into a goal. The sport is not just limited to being played on ice or on the field. It can also be played underwater by players equipped with snorkels and fins. Underwater hockey, a combination of hockey, water polo, and free diving, first appeared in the United States in the 1950s and is now making a comeback. Richard Catharina plays underwater hockey.
Truly a team sport, because it doesn't matter how good one player is, he's eventually going to have to come up for air. So there has to be teamwork, there has to be passing. You can't just have one guy doing everything.
The rules are fairly straightforward. There are two teams of six, with four additional players from each team as substitutes. Each player is equipped with a snorkel, goggles, a cap, fins, and a plastic stick 30 centimeters long. Just like in ice hockey, the goal is to get possession of the puck and hit it into the opposite team's goal.
All right, let's go, let's go!
The puck is made of rubber-covered lead and weighs 1.5 kilograms. That means it doesn't bounce and it stays securely on the bottom of the pool. George Mason University near Washington, D.C. is one of 9 U.S. universities that offer underwater hockey as a sport to students like Andrew Creedon.
I'm on the U.S. men's elite team, so we travel around the world competing at the world-level competition. And as I get ready for Worlds, I'll spend anywhere from 10 to 20 hours a week training for about a year.
Alex Dean is another player.
My favorite thing about the sport is the people. You know, I feel like every place I go, you know, I have a little bit of family because we have teams all over the United States.
Most underwater hockey teams are mixed, with both men and women. Yen Whitman is the competition's director for USA Underwater Hockey.
There's a 3D aspect to it that you don't get in the other court sports, because in basketball and soccer, you can only run on the court. In hockey, you can be on the bottom of the pool, but you can also be on the surface. And so there's that added dimension to where you need to position yourself in the play.
For obvious reasons, players can't communicate with each other verbally, and aside from the need to hold their breath, underwater hockey is less dangerous than regular hockey because of the cushioning effect of water. But as in any other sport, confrontations happen, and usually with fins.
It's a non-contact sport in the sense that basketball is non-contact, so you can't grab somebody, but you can still if your stick is on the puck, create body contact to create space.
Despite the fact that underwater hockey is not a new game, for most it remains more of an exotic sport. Today, only about 200 people play underwater hockey professionally in the United States, but players like Creedon hope their example will invite more people to dive in. The Game Room opens with new stories each week. Or play anytime on VOANews.com.